Good afternoon, and welcome to Nothing But Good News Radio. This is your host, Candy G. I am a talk show host, TV personality, coach, author, speaker, magazine publisher, and the founder of Nothing But Good News Media. I am also the originator of the Vision Program, specializing in developing sustainable long-term visions to transform companies and individuals from the inside out, yielding extraordinary results. I have a strong desire to effect real change, as I myself rose from a life of meager existence as a single parent to one of true bounty and joy. Now, in this age of soundbites, providing good news in the media is the primary intention and the purpose for Nothing But Good News Media. The principles that you will hear here are based on you, the listening audience, living your remarkable life, which is the foundation for the magazine, radio, webinars, blogs, online presence, and in all the work that's delivered. I am personally dedicated to bringing high-quality information to you, the public, through all of the programming, and to satisfy the increasing demand for integrity, honesty, and impassioned living. Before we get to today's guest, I want to share with you today's G-Note. A G-Note, well, it's simply what I call a daily gift to guide you to greatness that I drop in your email box every single day. It's a little note of inspiration, motivation, give you something to think about. And today's G-Note simply reads, "Dear friend, give thanks for having been given the blessed opportunity to create." Oh, and to be able to create and watch things build and grow, our next guest is going to be able to share a lot of that with us. But before we get to today's guest, and we've got some amazing information for you, we're going to dip off quickly to our first commercial break, say hi from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. So this is Candy G, Nothing But Good News Radio. Stick with us. We have an amazing hour planned for you.
Small packages to family and friends in the Caribbean. Amerijet has the right service for you. Small package shipping starts at just $35. Visit our website at www.amerijet.com or call us today at 1-800-927-6059. Amerijet has the best all-cargo service for small and large shipments. You can choose from airport to airport service and door pickup at home or office. Call Amerijet 1-800-927-6059 or visit our website at amerijet.com.
This is Chris Gloss from Atlanta, Georgia. Candy G's book, Now Boarding and Next Stop, Your Remarkable Life, has changed my entire life. From her book, I have begun the process of re-scripting my life for a better future. Her book has actually helped me put my life on a path towards everything that I have ever dreamed and hoped and prayed for. I say to you, Candy G books should be required reading for you. I have made a decision not just to read her book, but to study her book. I refuse to miss any of the treasures in her book. That's why I will study it and use every strategy and technique that she talks about, because to this point, it has made a tremendous difference. If you're ready to make a difference in your life, get the book now.
South Florida's only business radio station.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
880 AM, The Biz.
Welcome back. This is your host, Candy G, and this is Nothing But Good News Radio. Okay, so we had a little teeny equipment glitch there, but I'm telling you something. That only happens when we have absolutely the very, very best guests on. So what I want to tell you is a little bit about today's guest, and I'm talking about Daniel Kane. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Daniel, but what I want to start out saying is that if you've ever started a business, you all know all too well the daily struggles, the long hours, and the headaches that can go along with it. But if you've been successful, you also know the rewards that owning your own company brings. Well, Daniel Kane is no stranger to the trials and tribulations of starting a business, but he's figured out the secret to success. And today, he's going to share some of those secrets with us. Daniel has a BS from Cornell University, where as an undergraduate, he co-founded Blackboard, Inc. He was instrumental in growing the company through 5 private rounds of financing, raising $100 million in venture capital. There's a whole lot we're going to talk about that he did with Blackboard. But his latest venture, Modernizing Medicine, was founded in 2010, and it has been named the best startup in South Florida in South Florida Business Journal's 2011 Entrepreneur Awards. We're going to talk a lot about what Daniel knows and what Daniel's been doing. So I'd like to welcome Daniel Kane to Nothing But Good News Radio.
Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to be here.
And I meant it. The only time I ever have equipment glitches is when we have like this amazing hour. This like something electronically in the airwaves, you know. So what I'd like to do, Daniel, is tell the listening audience a little bit about you and your background.
Sure. So I'm a native to South Florida. I grew up right here in sunny South Florida, and after moving away for the early stage of my career, I decided that. It was time to come home. I've got 3 little munchkins, and I wanted them to have the same sun-drenched childhood that I had growing up. And I found this to be a fantastically hospitable environment to grow a company in. So while I founded Blackboard while I was a sophomore in college, I was going to school in upstate New York, and I grew that company in Washington, D.C., I decided that my next adventures would be down here. And so I moved my family back down to this area, and I'm just enjoying building and growing and creating something right here at home, and I'm finding it actually to be an even better opportunity than I thought. South Florida as an ecosystem for hiring, especially in the healthcare market, is what I'd really consider to be a target-rich environment.
And, you know, it's exciting for folks that live here to have, you know, a homegrown boy in our backyard doing well. It's like, yay, you know what I mean? Sounds like folks are rooting for you, which is a great thing. So let's start first at Blackboard. What is Blackboard that you created? And you created this while you were in school, correct?
That's right, yeah. I was a sophomore at Cornell University in upstate New York, and this was before the Internet was the Internet. So go back to 1994, 1995, and a lot of the things we take for granted today around just being able to access things online or be able to download your course assignments or take a test online were things that didn't exist, and we had to create them. So to kind of go back to the beginning days of the Internet and the beginning days of Blackboard, I was a student. I was sitting in a large classroom environment, and I just decided that there really had to be a better way. And I saw an opportunity, and I approached the professor, and I said, you know what? If you give me some of these course materials, I can put them in a place. It wasn't even called the web because the web hadn't been invented. The browser hadn't even been invented yet. But there was a Cornell network called CUCME. It was bare access, really. And it allowed students in the libraries and the dorms to be able to put their content in a place that others could see it. And as we started to take this one instructor's content and move it to what we would now consider online, the Internet went graphical. A browser came out. The first browser was called Mosaic. It was sort of the precursor of Netscape, which then became, you know, Firefox and Internet Explorer, and then the whole sort of browser things after that. But we were there at the very beginning, taking material and putting it online, and very quickly the other courses at Cornell said, we want this too, and I said I'd be happy to, but I need to charge you for it because I had a job and it was eating into my time at work. And so a small light bulb went off where, you know, the faculty there said, well, we can pay you, and I hired my housemates, and we built the business really just around taking materials and put them online. In the course of about a year, the demand was so outstripping our ability to satisfy it that we started to write tools just to automate common tasks for our own internal use, and pretty soon we had built such a collection of powerful tools for automating content creation and manipulation that we went ahead and started to license that to other universities so that they could build course materials for themselves. And as you started to fast forward time, it went from one classroom really to a department, to a college, to all the colleges, to other schools. And after about a year and a half, we were in 12 different universities and had a real little business on our hands. Then we had to scale up from there. And today Blackboard powers over 5,000 institutions of education all over the world. It's in over 120 different countries. It's in about 30 languages at this point. At one point or another, almost everyone I come in contact, if they've been in school in the last 10 years or so, have used one of my products.
How's that make you feel when you take a look at how this has grown and how you sparked this? What's your internal conversation?
Well, it's pride. I mean, you know, to make an indelible mark on something as large as education, really feels good. And you know, we had done something that forever transformed that ecosystem. And one of the things I really like to talk about is there comes a point at which you're going from an analog world to digital, and it's a very key point of digitization, and it provides an opportunity to really rethink the way that people interact with whatever the medium is. So in the case of education, it wasn't a matter of taking content that was in the classroom and putting it online, but it really represented a new opportunity to change the dynamic of teaching and learning. So today we take it for granted that students can have conversations with other students and interact with faculty members online and download additional materials and take practice tests and access resources like Google and Wikipedia, but all those things didn't exist before we started to move things online. And so it's at that point of digitization that there's an opportunity to really change it. And I feel like we did a fantastic job at Blackboard in growing a company both to financial success, right? So raising a lot of money, taking it public, and eventually selling it. But also in that we built a platform and a foundation that allowed others to build on top of it. And so today, as I look back at Blackboard, and I see a company that has almost 5,000 employees, it's not just the mark in education, but it's the fact that we opened up that ecosystem so that other people could extend it and other people could build on top of it. And so I see that same opportunity in what we're doing with modernizing medicine.
And I want to ask you about that, but before we go there, I want to know, what was the thing that you really learned from the creation of Blackboard as a business person that made you a better business person? What was it that you learned there that helped to put you in this position you are today?
Well, I could write books about all the things we did wrong. If I had to pick the things we did right, you know, we really understood one important fact, which is that the culture of the company was its most important asset. And it wasn't about a technology or an invention or being in the right place at the right time. I think that there were lots and lots of companies all doing that, really, at the same time as we were. But we maintained and built a culture of really entrepreneurism and aggressively thinking about changing the behavior. And so you're talking about, in the case of Blackboard, an industry that had remained more or less unchanged for thousands of years. I mean, you know, it went from kind of a, you know, stone tablets to a modern textbook, but the notion of the sage on the stage had remained the same up until the age of Blackboard, right? Until there was a time in which students could really interact with other students. And the notion of teachers handing out all of their material, and that students in some cases maybe don't need to go to class to learn that. Maybe some students prefer a more intimate interaction or dialogue with a teacher online than in a physical classroom environment. We really reconceived the notion of what teaching and learning meant as a shift away from an instructor-led to more of a student-centered focus. And that is a wonderful contribution to the way people teach and learn today.
It's so much I think about how our world works today, and the world is changing so quickly. You know, Dan, you said one thing that was really fascinating. You know, you said, "Oh, I could write a book about all the things I've done wrong. What have I done right?" But focus on that piece a bit. I think a lot of folks, when they're in the marketplace and they're trying to do something and they make mistakes or they see it as a failure or see it something is wrong, sometimes it'll stop folks from moving forward. I'd like you to address that comment for me.
Sure. So, I mean, the notion of failure as sort of an indelible mark against somebody is really a modern-day construct. I mean, it's something which, you know, as an innovation economy, especially here in America, we need to really be more proud of our failures. It really is. Unfortunately, you can't learn everything from other people's failures, and you have to go out and make some of your own. And so even as I mentor and instruct other entrepreneurs, you know, I can show them pitfalls, but sometimes they need to jump in and experience it for themselves. You know, what I've really found is that if you're going to fail, and you will, you need to very quickly recognize it for what it is and move on. And failure is a perfectly legitimate and acceptable outcome for anything. So in business, you know, I find that most businesses, quote-unquote, fail, not because it's not a good idea or not because of a lack of passion or a lack of financing or a lack of talent. I think all of those are challenges to overcome. But most of the businesses I know fail because of a lack of sales. And the worst thing I have seen entrepreneurs do is they're in sort of a denial phase on failure. I mean, when people talk about, you know, what are the different exits, you have to count failure as an exit. Right? If you're going to have a business and it's just not going to work, then fail quickly, learn from it, move on and try something else. You know, I've had businesses fail. We don't really list them when you're introducing me, but I've had entire businesses that we have tried and have failed, and usually they fail within months. And I'm as proud of those failures as I am of the success.
And, you know, I think that's the right attitude to have. And, you know, I really honor you for that piece and see the extraordinary things you've done. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to take another break right here. We're going to dip off for just a couple of minutes, and we'll be right back with Daniel Kane.
Do you need to ship food, personal effects, or relief goods to your loved ones in Haiti? Call AmeriJet today at 1-800-927-6059 or visit our website at www.amerijet.com. AmeriJet offers schedule all cargo service to Haiti. There are no restrictions on weight or size. Truck your shipment online and be ensured that your shipment will arrive in Haiti on the next available flight. Visit our website at www.amerijet.com or call us today at 1-800-927-6059.
Now boarding. Next stop, Your Remarkable Life. Hello, this is Les Brown. A Remarkable Life is available to all of us. And Candy G, internationally recognized speaker, life coach, and author, gives us the keys to release the imprisoned splendor, as Elizabeth Browning would say. Candy G is the message that she brings. She has a strong sense of purpose to change the planet and transform people's lives. Candy G and I have shared the stage throughout the United States and all the way to London. Everyone has been amazed with the strategic thinking and winning approach they have gained, not only from her speeches and seminars, but also from her celebrated life coaching program. Now Boarding brings forth a great deal from that program, tied in with Candy G's own life experiences and guaranteed to change your life. This book will enable you to live the life others only dream about. This has been Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy. Candy G, you've made us all proud.
This is the Wall Street Business Network.
South Florida's only business radio station, 880 AM, The Biz.
Candy G.
Who is the CEO and co-founder of Modernizing Medicine. What I'd like to do is just give another little shout out to one of our advertisers, and I'm talking about Eat Well Home Catering. And I talk about an idea whose time has come, and I will tell you, I use them, I love them, they probably save me about 10 hours a week, and what they do is they have delicious, convenient, and affordable meals that are protein, carb, and fat balanced for sustainable weight management, increased vitality, and excellent heart health. So what I'd like you to do is give them a call at 786-991-6602 or visit them on the web at eatwellfoods.com, eatwellfoods.com. I will tell you, discover how easy it is to eat well, and Eat Well Home Foods is also great for diabetics. So just tell them that Candy G sent you. So, you know, I want to get back to Daniel, and I want to talk about your current company right now, Modernizing Medicine. Why did you pick healthcare? What was it about what you saw in the healthcare industry that said, let me take a look at building a business here?
Well, that's a great question. You know, the healthcare industry is now actually the largest part of federal spending. It even eclipses the amount we spend as a country on defense. And it's an industry in desperate need of some assistance. And so when I looked at the healthcare industry as a whole, I saw something that was really ripe with the same opportunities that I witnessed in Blackboard 14 years prior. So at Blackboard, it was, again, at that moment of digitization, there's that opportunity. And I saw the same thing in healthcare. For some reason, healthcare had resisted the digitization process. They had very much stayed with paper, and anyone who's been to a physician's office in the last few years has noticed that while everything else has kind of gone online into the cloud, that healthcare, for the most part, has stayed in its traditional roots. And it was not for a lack of trying, but I think that the tools that were created over the last decade or so, really wouldn't make a doctor that much more efficient. And a provider's time, a doctor's time, is really their most precious resource. And so I saw an opportunity to transform the entire healthcare industry by making providers much more efficient than they had been. I had saw with really my own eyes as I went to a doctor and took my children to doctors that they were stuck in either paper-based systems or they were trying to type. And the only thing slower than a doctor typing is a doctor typing on a virtual keyboard on an iPad or an iPhone or an Android device. And so there needed to be a better way to capture information, a better way for doctors and providers to consume information, but also a better way to connect people together so that doctors, when they were treating a patient, would be able to see in real time, in context of treating a patient, what everyone else was doing and was it working. And so we really, instead of just digitizing the record, we actually took a very different approach. So modernizing medicine's entire approach to how we are making providers' lives better and improving patient outcomes really comes down to the right use of technology that doesn't get in their way, that provides them information in the context of treating a patient.
And, you know, there are a lot of folks that are listening to the show. You know, we got a big response to you being on the air today. Folks are very interested in listening to somebody who is so successful. What is it that you look for in a business? Is it all about what you can do online, or what is it that you look for in a business? Now, you said you started several different businesses. Is that not correct?
Yeah, well, I've started several. Again, some have had good endings, and others have had less happy endings. But you know, it's definitely a wide variety of them.
And so, what do you look for in a company? And even maybe a better question than that is, how can you help folks that want to be extraordinarily successful, to give them just kind of like, where's a good place to start?
Well, I mean, a really good place to start, if you want to be, to use your, and I would never say that I'm as extraordinarily successful. I feel like I work hard and surround myself with really smart people, and that leads us to good places. But if you want to have extraordinary success, then you have to do something that is really big. You have to have kind of a game-changing concept, right? I want to reinvent the way education is done, or I want to change the entire healthcare industry. So you have to think big in order to have a big impact. The keys to success for having a successful outcome really come down, though, to business fundamentals. I mean, in all of my businesses, the things you'll find in common are, you know, a solid underlying business model where I wasn't trying to make money, you know, quote unquote, somehow with eyeballs or through strange marketing techniques. It was always bill and collect. And so going all the way back to my sophomore year in college, like, that technology we licensed to universities, and it was an annual subscription. With my current product, it's a monthly subscription. And so I really like subscription-based businesses because it keeps me honest. I have to re-earn their business every month or every year. Plus, it provides tremendous visibility into my financial business model. I know that, you know, if 99% of my clients stay because they do month to month, then and I have built up a book of business to a certain level, I have really good idea of what I'm going to do financially this year, even if my new growth targets, you know, underperform.
So you talk about having a game-changing concept or to really think big, or any of these concepts that you've thought of, said, you know, I want to give this a go. Was there ever a place where it scared you a little bit? Like, well, nobody else is doing this in the marketplace. Is this really going to work? Or have you always had this big, bold idea, here's my dream, I'm going after it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think modernizing medicine, you know, is by far my most ambitious company yet. The medical industry, healthcare, is both highly regulated and it's very private, right? I mean, you know, patient confidentiality is an incredibly important thing to do. So we're dealing with an industry of highly sensitive data, and we're dealing with it on a scale that's never really been performed before. And so, you know, those two things coming together are intimidating. Now, at the same time, it's almost because of those challenges that it's exciting to have success. And so just to see, and it's really in its earliest days, I mean, modernizing medicine has received some fantastic awards, but it's really just so early in what we are aiming to do. And our mission, our vision for this is really nothing short of, you know, a massive transformation. Like, when you think of Blackboard today, you know, it has a lot of name recognition. A lot of people have used that product. I want Modernizing Medicine to really do what we did for education with Blackboard in healthcare.
So where do you see this company going then?
Well, we have a lot of work to do. I mean, the healthcare industry is massive, and instead of trying to bite off more than we could chew, we decided to take smaller bites and do very well in the industry we do. If you break down the medical industry into smaller segments, we today focus on what's called the surgical specialty market. So groups like dermatology or ophthalmology or orthopedic surgery. The reason we focus on them is that they are the most underserved of all the really healthcare verticals out there. The technologies that have been developed over the last 10, 15 years really don't work for surgeons. And so we wanted to start with the most underserved population. The reason they were the most underserved was that they had the hardest needs. They had highly visual fields. So if you think about orthopedics, you need to be able to describe a certain fracture pattern on a certain bone. Or if you think about dermatology, it's you know, types of rashes or lesions covering certain surface areas. It's a very difficult thing for a computer to do unless you build a touch-based system like we have. But from here, we need to expand. There's other verticals for us to go into. There's a lot of healthcare. There's a lot of medicine. And we're certainly not going to run out of interesting projects to work on.
So this system that you've created, does it save money for the consumer, time and money for the consumer, or more so just the physician?
Well, that's a great question. So it saves money for the whole system, right? The application will be used by a doctor, and it's a touch-based system. It's designed around the Apple iPad, and so they're not, you know, turning their back on you. They're not typing on a keyboard. Instead, they're simply touching a condition. And then the program, just like you would on, Amazon.com, where it can, you know, say recommended for you, it learns what your prescribing habits are as a physician per disease. It learns what labs you would like to order. And so it recommends, based on its knowledge of you, how would you, this provider, like to treat this patient. And so what it ends up doing, though, over time is saving doctors time. Which is not just money back in their pocket, but really it increases the efficiency of the whole system. The end game, though, is to provide the pharmaceutical companies and the payers with real data. Where we're taking this technology allows things on a massive scale to be seen, the trends to be seen. And so we will know, and today we do know the prescribing habits, but really where this leads to is being able to understand efficacy, understand what the drug outcomes are for certain patient populations. And what that does is lowers costs for everybody, because if we can make patients better, faster, the entire system saves money.
Wow, that seems pretty exciting to me, because you'll be able to collect all this data, and then all of these other things can be created out of collecting this data, which I think is very exciting and very, 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 very impressive. Daniel, I must say, very exciting. Good for you. Good for you. How long ago did you start this company?
Modernizing Medicine just turned 3 last week, so we are a 3-year-old company.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. And so you were also named, this was also named the number one fastest growing company in South Florida's Fast 50. And in 2013, Modernizing Medicine was listed at number 47 on Forbes' annual ranking of America's most promising companies. In the first 2 years of sales, Modernizing Medicine has closed more than the $20 million in business and powers more than 14% of the dermatology market in the U.S. Those are some very, very impressive statistics.
Thank you.
You know what we're going to do is, before I get into another question, what I'd like to do is I'd like to dip off to another commercial break, and we're going to dip into our half hour where we'll also get our traffic. So this is Candy G. It's Nothing But Good News Radio, and I'm here with Daniel Kane, the CEO and co-founder of Modernizing Medicine. We'll be right back in about 2 minutes.
I'm
Amerijet, your best choice for shipping personal and commercial goods to the Caribbean, Mexico, and Latin America. With daily all-cargo service to more destinations than any other carrier, Amerijet provides the services you need. Visit our website at www.amerijet.com or call us today at 1-800-927-6059. All-cargo services to Trinidad, Barbados, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Mexico, Guyana, and Jamaica. 1-800-927-6059 or visit our website at amerijet.com.
Candy G is a sales coach, life skills coach, speaker, author, and personal motivator. A recognized leader in the motivational speaking industry, Candy G teaches universal, timeless principles and real-time action steps, revealing the secrets to true success, happiness, and personal prosperity. She shows others how to master their own lives. For more information on events with Candy G or available products and services, please contact 1-888-526-3334 or visit us online at www.candyg.com. Candy G is also available to customize programs for your corporation, group, or organization.
I just completed the most fabulous program that I ever had the opportunity to be a part of. I'd like to thank you, Candy, for all your help and your inspiration. A little down on myself, not knowing where I was going, but you have brought it out of me. You've given me the confidence to know that I can achieve anything that I set my mind to.
And now, WZAB traffic.
Good afternoon. We are dealing with heavy delays on I-95 in your northbound direction due to an accident at Northwest 125th Street. All your express lanes are shut down at this time due to that accident. We are also dealing with delays on I-95 in your regular lanes. For those of you traveling out of Broward County, a breakdown 95 southbound just before Pembroke Road blocking your right lane. For more traffic, follow us on Twitter at Total Traffic MIA.
Welcome back to Nothing But Good News Radio. And before we get back to Daniel, I just want to mention that TEDx Delray Beach's The Human Experience will be held on May 3rd, 2013 at the Delray Beach Center for the Arts at the Old School Square. Now, this event is going to be nothing short of spectacular. Over the course of the months, you've been hearing a lot of the TEDx speakers. And if you go to TEDxDelrayBeach.com, you can hear a list of some of the other amazing speakers. It's all about the human experience, and the human experience is unique to all of us, never free of incident and always venturing the horizon. And I'm very proud to say that I will be speaking at this TEDx event along with our guest today, Daniel Kane. Daniel, what will you be speaking about at the TEDx event?
So I'm going to be talking about that that sort of seducible moment, that opportunity that happens at the point of digitization when we're shifting an industry from the analog to the digital. It really represents the best opportunity I've ever seen in a generation to do things differently, to really rethink how we approach an industry, whether it's education or healthcare, and what can we do differently that sort of next time around, rather than just taking the old way of doing it and redoing it online. So the whole talk is really about the story of Blackboard and how it parallels the story of modernizing medicine, but really, you can extend it to really touch upon any vertical out there on how, when you have these moments of inflection, you really need to seize that. And it's our duty to seize it. It's our obligation to seize it and make it more than it otherwise would otherwise turn out to be.
And so that's May 3rd, and that's in Delray Beach. And I'm telling you to go ahead, go online, and apply for your tickets now to make sure you have a seat. I promise you, this will be a sold-out event. And so that's TEDxDelrayBeach.com. So go and check it out. Now, I want to ask you, as far as your influence, what or who is your greatest business influence?
Oh, greatest business influence. So I'll have to answer that in two parts. The first is the greatest business influence, who is kind of historic, and it's Edison, actually. Edison was a number of things before he was an inventor, but when he was an inventor, he spent years tinkering and failing, trying to make a light bulb. And one of his sort of little known stories about him was he was interviewed by a local media, and they said, you've been at this for years and you've failed to produce, the light bulb. Don't you feel like you failed? Haven't you learned anything? And he corrected them and said, no, you don't understand. I've learned over 100 ways not to make a light bulb. And so that to me is a story and something that always makes me smile, because as we are out there attempting and inventing and creating and failing, we're learning no matter what. Even if it's not success, we are learning from the failure. So that to me is someone who I've always looked up to. And then Edison obviously went out to invent, a whole bunch of things, but really laid infrastructure so that other people could build off of the entire grid. And that, again, is a wonderful parallel for how I like to build things, whether it's Blackboard in education or modernizing medicine and healthcare. Modern day, I really look up to people like Wayne Huizenga, who's not only a local celebrity and the only one, I believe, who's taken six companies public, each one over $1 billion. I mean, that is just the ultimate mark of a successful serial entrepreneur, but is a tremendous human being and gives back to the community as well. And so, just a very good mentor, modern day and local here in the community.
So you have somebody listening today that says, I want to be an entrepreneur. I don't know how to be an entrepreneur. I don't want to work for someone else, but I would love to have my own company and learn how to do what you do. What kind of business tips can you tell someone like that who's a little afraid to step out? And let's say they have a great idea, or they don't have an idea and they'd like to find one.
So, I mean, those are two very different people, right? The one
exactly.
Word of caution I give to entrepreneurs is that, there's a huge difference between having an idea and having a business. And it's a very different skill set to go from a concept to a prototype to a product, and then a product to a company. And so very rarely do you find someone who can sort of embody all those different areas and then scale a company. But it does happen, and, there are a handful of us who enjoy and can kind of, morph ourselves into the different needs at the different time. The most important thing you can do is find some people that complement your skill set and believe in you and the idea. And you'll need all sorts, right? You'll need people who are excellent at accounting and people that are excellent at selling and marketing and building teams and so on. But it does take a lot more than an idea. People who want to work for themselves are you need to be very switched on and motivated. Speaking from experience, I'd say those that work for themselves are awfully working much, much harder than those working for somebody else, because you're driven by a different engine, right? Your timing belt is just turned up to a whole nother level. And so if you're thinking of getting into entrepreneurship because you think you're going to like the hours easier, I have some sore news for you.
Newsflash, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the reality is that the rewards from building something yourself with your own two hands, and then it really is about surrounding yourself with other people that share your passion and building it together. So in every one of my companies, I have a co-founder. And they're different co-founders, obviously, for different companies. So with Modernizing Medicine, a local physician named Dr. Michael Cherling is my co-founder, and I couldn't do this without him. I simply not only wouldn't have the medical expertise needed to pull off a healthcare company, which is kind of important when building a healthcare company, but there's just too much to be done to really go at it on your own. And so whether you're going at it with a friend or a coworker or a spouse or what have you, you need to be able to share that burden, because it is a very heavy burden. There's an awful lot to be done. Then the other answer to your question was around just the mechanics. And there are so many great resources out there through the local universities and through the chambers of commerce, especially, to get you set up with the legal and financial instruments you need to build a business. So once you have your team, once you have your idea, once you have figured out a way to actually make money, which, again, is the most common pitfall I've seen with businesses, there are a wealth of people in the ecosystem who will help you, whether it's, how do I register my business online, or how do I go out and, secure a loan to get something funded, or how do I raise money from an angel investor. There is an entire ecosystem in the services industry around entrepreneurs, and we all need each other. And that's why those networking events and those chamber events are just so important.
So if you're a person listening to you, how do you know that you have an idea worth pursuing?
If somebody's willing to pay for it, right? You don't know at the idea mode If it's a good idea, it may sound good, and believe me, if you tell yourself you're going to drink your own Kool-Aid, and that's to be expected, as you tell other people, especially those that care and are happy for you, you know, they're going to tell you somewhat what you want to hear. It isn't until you can prove the viability of that business. It isn't until somebody parts, you know, somebody you don't know, right? It doesn't count if your friends buy your stuff. But somebody you don't know buys your stuff, that's when you know you've got something. And even for those, and I do a lot of talking about raising funds because I've raised an awful lot of financing for various companies. You can't do it pre-revenue. It isn't impossible, but it might as well be. The investors understand investment. They don't understand your business. They don't understand your ecosystem. They don't understand your vision. But if they see other people parting with their money in exchange for your product or service, they understand that. And so as you're going out to figure out if you've got something, I mean, the first question you ask yourself is can I sell it? Is it something that people really want? And not just say they want it, but are they willing to separate with their money for it?
That's awesome. Such great, good, and wonderful advice. So we're going to head off. This is our last commercial break of the show, and we're going to come back with more wisdom from Daniel Kane, CEO and co-founder of Modernizing Medicine. This is Candy G. I'll be right back.
AmeriJet is the only all-cargo carrier offering online shipping to more destinations throughout the Caribbean, Mexico, and Latin America. Visit our website at www.amerijet.com or call us today at 1-800-927-6059. Book and pay for all your shipments online and receive an instant discount. AmeriJet website provides free quotes and online tracking to all its customers. Call AmeriJet today at 1-800-927-6059 or visit our website, amerijet.com.
Hi, I'm Anne from Fort Lauderdale. Now, I'm no stranger to the self-help aisle in the bookstores, and there are so many fabulous motivational speakers out there, but somehow I have never been able to apply what they say to make my life as happy and successful as theirs. Until I read Now Boarding, Next Stop, Your Remarkable Life by Candy G. In this book, Candy G takes motivational speaking out of the theoretical right into the practical. Her step-by-step instructions on how to identify the blocks we have to our own success and happiness, followed by step-by-step instructions in her reclamation process, is like some kind of magic bullet aimed at creating the life that we desire and so richly deserve. Candy G is a remarkable woman who used these same tools to create a life overflowing with love and success. And now this remarkable method is available in her first book, Now Boarding, Next Stop, Your Remarkable Life. Don't hesitate to buy it and just watch magical things start happening in your life.
South Florida's only business radio station.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
880 AM, The Biz.
Welcome back. This is Nothing But Good News Radio, and this is your host, Candy G, and I'm here with Daniel Kane, CEO and co-founder of Modernizing Medicine. Daniel, so tell me, what is your greatest life influence?
Well, my greatest life influence has to be family, and whether that's, you know, my parents who, you know, did a fantastic job in instilling with me a drive and a hunger for knowledge and to do well by doing good. And so a very common theme in all of my businesses is a very philanthropic team, a very philanthropic vision on all of these things, right? So, you know, there's a lot of ways to make money. I like to drive a real business, but to do it in a place where I can also help. And so whether it's, you know, online education or education in general, or helping fix the healthcare system, these are things that I go home, and while I am building a business and I'm working on, you know, shareholder return, I also feel incredibly good about the stuff I'm doing. And then, you know, today, my children and my beautiful wife really provide the biggest influence in sort of what I'm doing, trying to keep me grounded and focused on what's really important, which is family.
Good for you. So what do you do to de-stress or for recovery time? What do you do?
I work. To be honest, for me, work is it's fulfilling. It's sculpting, right? When I look at artists and I'm like, you know, what do you do to release stress. They said, well, I paint or I sculpt or, and I'm the same thing. For me, you know, the businesses are there, and like a sculptor with a piece of stone, they're chipping away at the parts that don't need to be to reveal something beautifully, you know, that was always within. And I do the same thing. So, you know, on plane rides or just, you know, at night, if I want to, you know, de-stress and just sort of refocus, I work. And for me, that actually brings me a tremendous amount of pleasure.
What are your strongest character traits that truly make you successful?
Well, drive, I'd say that, you know, one of the things that I do, I'd say maybe a little bit better than most is I tend to inspire people to really their fullest potential. And there isn't a single business I've done that I could do on my own, none of them, absolutely. And so, you know, I'm very good at surrounding myself with people that share a vision and share a drive, and then, you know, it's working with them to motivate them to their fullest potential. And it's something where, you know, I've never really, you know, read books on how to do it. I haven't taken psych classes. I don't even know exactly what I'm doing or how I do it. But somehow, you know, I always find myself with just fantastic people who are high energy, high output, and they're telling me, you know, over and over that they've never had this much fun working anywhere, and their productivity is just through the roof. And so, you know, that's a gift, and I've seen it now enough times to know that, you know, the common denominator in those scenarios is probably me and the types of companies we're doing, but I can't do these without my team. And so over and over, I have such respect for them, and I think that's part of the vicious cycle. They know that, and they know how much I value their input and their creativity and their productivity, and it becomes a vicious cycle of love.
You know, it's been said that if you truly want to be successful, then what you do is you help other folks be successful. It's an incredible play of this amazing creative universe that we live in. So, bravo for you. What other dreams do you have, Daniel?
Well, I mean, I really want to focus on healthcare for a while. It is such a spiraling out of control part of this country. And if you look at the sort of big picture with the baby boomers moving to retirement and people living longer, healthier lives, it's going to overburden an already stressed system. Like I said in the beginning of the show, the healthcare system has now passed defense as far as output of GDP. And it's a problem because we do need to provide the best healthcare we can possibly do, but the system right now has flaws and it needs to find efficiencies. And it also needs to be better connected. And so, you know, my vision is really to be able to fix and be a part of the solution for a pretty broken system. My long-term vision is just to make this world a little bit better than when I found it.
That's awesome. Well, we're getting close to the end of this hour, and in just about 2 minutes' time, tell me what it is that you would really like the listening audience to get from you today or have gotten from this interview.
Well, I hope that they understand that it's not about how old you are or how much experience you've had. I mean, I started my first company while I was just a sophomore in college. I hope that they understand and go out and seek out others who share their vision and want to make this world a bit of a better place. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that want to do good and want to do right. And it's fantastic when you can take that and combine it with some business so that there's a financial driver to do the right thing. And when you align those levers in the right way, you can have really fantastic outcomes. And so I hope that people out there understand that, you know, while you can do this really at any time, at any age. You're never too late to be an entrepreneur. You just need to find the right people, and you really need to bring out the best of what they can bring to the table as well.
And so we still have a few minutes. So while we're still on the air, because we just have about 3 more minutes while we're on the air, tell me what you believe your greatest life achievement has been so far.
Oh, greatest life achievement has to be the children, right? I mean, my kids are I couldn't design or build a better business than children. You know, financially, they are a wonderful burden, but they're worth every penny. But my kids, I mean, I get so much joy from teaching them and watching them and playing with them. It's really a phenomenal thing to be able to work this hard and then go home and then just have that time with family. And then for them to be so supportive and you know, ask me not just how my day was, but, you know, they get into the business, they run around here in the office. And I think, finding that balance in life is something that I'm never going to perfect. And I always feel like I've got, leaning one way or another too much, whether it's too much work or trying to spend too much time at home, though I think the wife and kids would argue that I should spend more time at home, and they're probably right. But it's that's the challenge, and that's the thing I love most is them. And, my success or failure in this world will really be based as a reflection on how my children do. And I want them to have the same values that my parents instilled in me, and I hope that they go on to contribute greatly to society and have that same, will to make the world a better place.
Right now, I know that you're focusing in the healthcare industry. But if you were to say, folks were listening and you were to say, I think there's going to be some amazing opportunities show up in other industries, what do you think some of those might be?
Well, I think that there's tremendous opportunities in energy right now. I mean, we're really just starting to tap into more of our natural resources, and clean energy has to be a part of it. The most fundamental thing that this country has done and will continue to do, hopefully with the right people in power, is that we invest in infrastructure. And whether that's, a transportation infrastructure or power infrastructure or clean energy infrastructure, when you invest in infrastructure, you can build on top of it for generations. And I think that we need to do the same thing right now in healthcare. We need to really build out a better healthcare infrastructure that other people, not just, one or two companies, but everyone can tie into. We need to, we need to move information out of silos so that it's more generally available. We need to share and participate in what it is we're doing.
Some of the things that you've discussed on the show today that really, really struck me in a big way is you were talking about how you came to understand that culture was your most important asset. And you also, you talked about changing behavior and really stepping out into the marketplace. You talked about being proud of your failures and understanding that failures really are a stepping stone to growth. And you also talked about doing well by doing good, which is a big part of my heart and a big part of what we do around here. I mean, Nothing But Good News Radio, as far as I'm concerned, and we also do Nothing But Good News Magazine, it is a community resource. And it's a way to get great folks like yourself out into the community. And so I love the way that you think and that you've built your business, and you have absolutely a lot to be proud of. So, I want to thank you for all the great things that you've had to share. And I want to remind folks about TEDx Delray Beach, the human experience. It'll be held on May 3rd, and it's going to be at the Delray Beach Center for the Arts at the Old School Square. And again, this really is going to be an absolutely amazing event. And if you've never been to a TED event, it's really about ideas worth sharing or ideas worth spreading. And the talks are they're just very compact, short talks, high energy, and a lot of great, great, great information. I know there are a lot of great folks that are going to be at this event. So, have you spoken at a TED event before?
Oh no,
this your first?
It has been a real lifelong ambition to get selected to speak at a TED event. Really, there are a few higher honors for someone who's got a mission. I'm absolutely serious. This is.
Hey, listen, I get it. I'm right there with you. That's why I'm laughing, because it's like, wow, look, I'm right there with you. So. That's awesome. We're just about to head on off the air. Daniel, I really appreciate you being here with me today and taking an hour out of your day for our Nothing But Good News audience. And you truly are Nothing But Good News.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a real pleasure.
Okay, awesome. Again, thank you. So we'll bid Daniel goodbye, and we've got some more great guests coming up in the next few weeks. If you've missed any of our shows, just go to kandeeg.com, kandeeg.com. The shows are recorded, and they are there for your listening pleasure. Just click and listen. Hey, this is Candy G. This is Nothing But Good News Radio. I am so happy you spent this hour with us, and I want you to do is get on out there and do something remarkable. Bye for now.